We've got a flash flood watch in effect until tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. as we're getting the remnants of Hurricane Sally moving through the area. So especially in those low-lying areas, stay careful and stay safe. 5:07, your time, catching you up on local news. We begin on the state level, where Governor Roy Cooper earlier today announced that beginning October 5th, school districts across the state will have the option of switching to Plan A for elementary schools. That's grades K through 5. That's Plan A of the three plans, A, B, and C, that were drawn up over the summer for getting back to school in the midst of COVID-19. Plan A involves getting every student back into the classroom for in-person learning. And again, Cooper has opened up that option for school districts for elementary schools only beginning on October 5th. No change for middle or high schools, but he made that announcement earlier today. On campus, the UNC System Board of Governors today voted to increase the system president's power in the process of selecting new chancellors. The board voted to approve a new policy allowing the system president to choose up to two candidates beyond those vetted by campus search committees and requiring the board to send at least one of those two candidates back to the president for final consideration. There are two ongoing searches at Fayetteville State and ECU. System President Peter Hahn said the new policy will not apply in those two searches. Hans also announced today that enrollment for this academic year, this is system-wide, is up by around 1% compared to last year. That's a new record high for the UNC system in spite of the ongoing pandemic. In other news, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the response period for the 2020 census. More than 10% of North Carolina households still have not responded, putting the state at risk of losing more than $7 billion in federal funding. 97.9 The Hill Alcaris reports.
In mid-August, the U.S. Census Bureau moved the 2020 census completion deadline from October 31st to September 30th, meaning local jurisdictions are now pushing harder than ever to get all their residents counted. Overall, the census determines how $675 billion of federal funding is distributed over the next 10 years. Every person not counted in the community is a loss of more than $1,800 annually in state and federal funding. The census is also used to determine the number of seats each state has in the U.S. House of Representatives, and it's used for redistricting at the national, state, and local level. Assuming North Carolina has an accurate census count this year, the state is projected to gain an additional seat in the House. As of September 15th, 87.7% of North Carolinians have responded to the census. This percentage puts North Carolina as the state with the ninth lowest response rate. With these comparatively low response rates, individual counties in the state are stepping up to push for a more accurate count of their populations. Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard said Chatham is now at the phase where they're doing door-to-door checks to encourage people to be counted. The county's $133 million in annual federal funding is contingent on an accurate and representative count.
Every 10 years, we will get an opportunity to count the people in this county. And that count matters on so many levels, for funding for at a federal level, for the kinds of things that we get for school districts, for affordable housing, for addressing poverty. And when you are undercounted, that undercount exists regardless of population spurts. And we've had numerous population spurts at the county and the state level.
Howard said if residents are not counted, there will be a significant lack of funding on a county and statewide level. And if the county and state continues to grow in size, both will not receive enough funding to support the needs of their residents.
So it's so important that people understand we have this one opportunity to really count our people, count ourselves, count who we are, like figure out who are we, what are the needs of the community in a real sense, and then use that information to ensure that we have the support and the infrastructure and the funding to meet the needs of the people of the state.
Howard said she has a team of bilingual and multilingual people dedicated to getting the word out about the census as the closing date approaches. However, as of September 15th, more than 30% of Chatham County households have still not completed the 2020 census. Additionally, in Orange County, over 28% of residents have yet to fill it out. Howard said, while these rates aren't terrible in comparison to the last census 10 years ago, it's still not ideal, especially considering 2020 is the first year people are able to fill out the census online.
We are slightly ahead of where we were the last time we had a census count, but that was not high enough, and we would really like to get as many people accounted for as possible.
To fill out the census before the closing date on September 30th, go online at my2020census.gov. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Governor Roy Cooper today named Orange County Sheriff Charles Blackwood to serve as vice chair of the governor's crime commission. Blackwood already serves as a member of the commission, along with some other local notables, Orange County District Court Judge Beverly Scarlett, former public defender James Williams, and you just heard her, Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard, too. Cooper is running for re-election this fall against Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. Forrest made the news again yesterday when he called on all schools to reopen for all students without requiring anyone to wear masks or physically distance. Forrest said he doesn't personally believe the science supports the need for a mask mandate. Most scientists, like Dr. Deborah Birx and CDC Director Robert Redfield, have publicly said masks and social distancing measures are necessary to limit the spread. By the way, Governor Cooper asked today if today's announcement about elementary schools had anything to do with that. He said no, and Plan A, in spite of letting everyone back into the schools, does involve a mask requirement as well as several other measures to keep schools safe. Back locally, the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough released its annual State of the Community report last week, highlighting both positive trends and ongoing challenges as well. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell with more on that.
Presented during a virtual event hosted at the Graduate Hotel on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, the Chamber revealed Orange County is the healthiest county in North Carolina when examining length of life and access to clinical care. In addition, it's also the top county in wealth per capita and average adjusted gross income. President and CEO of the Chamber, Aaron Nelson, recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck about the presentation. He said despite those rankings, the COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted some of the county's shortcomings of racial inequity to health resources.
Orange County's 12% black population. They are 15% of the COVID cases, so the infection rate is similar to their population, but are 42% of the deaths in Orange County. If we take a look at Hispanic, Hispanic is 8% of our population, but they were 33% of the infection rate.
Nelson said similar issues can be found when examining education within Orange County. Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools ranks as a top school district in North Carolina, but Nelson said that doesn't paint the whole picture.
And while that is good news, the really disappointing news is that a substantial gap does still remain, and more work must be done. All children are not reading on grade level. All children are not being successful in science or on the ACT test or on SAT test.
Another area the chamber president focused on in the report is the county's growth. Orange County saw its slowest rate of growth during the 2010s since the 1930s, and less in comparison to neighboring counties like Chatham County. But some of the populations that have grown the most are Black, Latinx, and Asian populations within the county. Nelson said this diversity is good, but some residents' sense of too much growth can stunt opportunities for newcomers. He said he believes the statistics do not fit with many longtime residents' views of Orange County's growth.
They feel like, because of traffic and other things, that we must be growing very quickly, but we're growing at less than 1% per year. And a lot of the impacts that people feel, the taller buildings is probably more about land use choices, and the more traffic is probably more about people from Chatham County driving to Durham through Orange County rather than Orange County population growth.
Overall, Nelson said while he expects the community will rebound well from the COVID-19 pandemic and has many marks to be proud of, there is still significant work to be done when addressing Orange County's shortcomings of racial inequity.
We are a very successful community, one of the highest per capita income. We're one of the healthiest places. We're one of the wealthiest places in the state of North Carolina. But incredible and disturbing racial disparities exist.
A breakdown of the 2020 State of the Community report can be found on the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill and Carborough's website, as well as chapelborough.com. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
And time now for sports, brought to you by Chapel Hill Tire. Big news in the Tar Heel football world. Carolina will not have a game on Saturday after all. Carolina's game against Charlotte has been canceled after several members of Charlotte's offensive line were placed under COVID-related quarantine. Only one player is actually tested positive for the virus, but the others are having to go into quarantine due to contact tracing protocols that depletes Charlotte's team, and they had to call off the game. UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham issued a statement saying they knew cancellations were a possibility this year, and the team is looking to add another opponent to the schedule next weekend, Saturday the 26th. That is currently a bye week for UNC. No word yet on who that opponent might be. We will still have a day of football here on 97.9 The Hill this Saturday, though. The show will go on. Inside Carolina Live will air from 10 a.m. to noon. They'll be talking football, a lot to talk about in spite of the, or maybe because of the cancellation. We'll air a rebroadcast of last year's win over South Carolina, that season opener to mark the beginning of the second Mac Brown era in Chapel Hill. And then after that game broadcast wraps up, we'll have a live installment of On the Heels with Paul Connell beginning at 3. So keep it tuned to us all day on Saturday. We're going to get you Tar Heel football one way or the other, but again, no game in Keenan Stadium. Other UNC teams are changing their schedules too this week, but this is all weather related. UNC women's soccer is hosting Wake Forest today for the season opener. That game was scheduled for 7 p.m. It's been moved up to 5:30, though, because of the rain, so getting underway in just a few minutes. UNC men's soccer was scheduled to host NC State for a scrimmage tomorrow night. That has been postponed to Sunday at 6 p.m., also due to the rain. And back to football for one more bit of news. Inside Carolina reporting 50-year safety Miles Wolfolk is out for the rest of the season after being ruled academically ineligible. And quickly over to field hockey, where former Tar Heel star Lauren Moyer has just agreed to join the UNC coaching staff as a volunteer assistant. Moyer graduated from Carolina in 2016. She currently plays on the U.S. national team.